guys. This is Yusuf.
And Genoa. And this is In-Flight Entertainment.
Hello, everyone in podcast land.
Hello.
All right, so what's the breakdown, Genoa?
Today we're doing Annihilation and reviewing it to see if it is a good plane movie. And as a reminder, a good plane movie means that if you're interrupted while watching it, you're not missing any of the story. Or if you miss some of the dialogue due to the ambient noises on the plane, it's okay.
Yes,
so, yes. Annihilation. And for those of you that aren't familiar with the movie, it is based on Jeff Vandermeer's best-selling Southern Reach trilogy. And it is about a biologist that signs up for a dangerous secret expedition into a mysterious zone where the laws of nature don't apply.
Yes.
And the trailers for the movie were fucking beautiful.
Yeah, they were
awesome.
And weird.
I was totally on board with seeing this movie based on just the trailers.
Yeah.
Way to go, marketing team. Good job.
They did their job.
Holy shit.
Well.
Yeah. And then, like, having Natalie Portman, I mean, even though I'm not a fan of all of her movies, I've still been a fan with her since she... What was her first movie?
The Professional?
Yes! The Professional. Yes. It was awesome.
She's like 13 or something like that, or 12.
Something like that.
She was still awesome. Yes.
And it has Jennifer Jason Leigh,
mm-hmm.
Tessa Thompson,
yep.
Sonia Mizuno,
mm-hmm.
has a fantastic female cast. I mean, Gina Rodriguez.
Yep. Oscar Isaac's in there also.
Right. Well, most of the movie focuses on the women that go into the beyond the barrier that the world is different.
Right. So pretty much this mysterious bubble. Is it the East Coast or something like that?
I don't think they really say. I assumed it was the East Coast because there was a lighthouse.
Lighthouse, yeah. Lighthouse is Connecticut.
I was thinking Maine.
Maine, okay.
No, so
East Coast.
Whatever. Somewhere along the coast, because they're trying to get to a lighthouse to get out of this bubble that has started to take over part of the. It must be America because everyone's American.
Right.
And
I think it's expanding slowly.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the government is sending people in to see what the fuck's going on.
Right. But the problem is the people that they send in don't come out.
Right.
It's like a Roach Motel.
Right.
Go in, yeah, but they don't come out.
And the biologist, Natalie Portman,
mm-hmm.
She goes in because her husband... actually went in and did come out. And
yes,
so
sure.
She saw how messed up he was and wanted to go in to find out what he went through and how she could potentially help him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where... The movie's a little bit weird because it feels like it jumps forward and backwards a bunch in that they're interviewing her on what happened while she was inside of the bubble.
Right. So it's like that narrative device of... The main story is told in a flashback or like recollections, if you will. You know,
right.
So that's pretty much what the bulk of the story is. You know, like we're slowly piecing together what happened, an event that just happened or happened before, and we're catching up through the eyes of the interrogators that's asking, okay, then what? Then what? Then what? And then we see what happens. You know. Trying to piece together what happened in this mysterious alien bubble that changed a lot of things. Like,
according
flips
to,
nature on its head,
right.
So to speak.
As IMDb puts it, the laws of nature don't apply. So you start seeing some weird combination of animals. So
yes.
I think it was the first thing you see a crocodile or a deer or
something. Yeah, it was like some kind of reptile. It looked like a
mutated crocodile, alligator,
Aladal.
Right.
Okay.
it has like the teeth of a shark, but the body of a alligator.
And really huge.
Right.
Yes.
So think Sci-Fi Channel movie type huge with a crocodile at whatever.
Gone
lake.
Wrong.
Yeah.
So they experience.
That
it's wildlife.
Oh my god, this should have been a sci-fi channel movie. Should not have been a major release movie.
I think they were fine making this major, a theatrical.
No.
Yeah.
I feel like if the sci-fi channel would have done this, it would have been fucking awesome.
But yeah, yes, but between the sound design and all, I think
the sound design was beautiful. And the cinematography was beautiful.
Yes. I don't think
a lot of the visuals should be in museums, because what they were doing with like the trees or the plants starting to grow into the shape of humans.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. Yes, should be in museums.
Yes.
But the story, totally a sci-fi channel movie.
It's a sci-fi channel movie, but
like if you're gonna spend all that money on sound design and cool like special effects, spend it on a cool movie.
You don't think this was a cool movie?
Personally, no.
No? Okay.
I mean, it was kind of boring.
Okay.
I mean, there's like the nightmare bears, Jen and Matt like to say.
I mean,
as you guys know, yeah. And we put on the page and everything.
Yeah.
There are fucking spoilers. Right. Get over it.
Exactly. So pretty much, this bear is we.
So
see
so
it as
so
the bear,
right? The ladies make it to an outpost or a camp where the biologist Natalie Portman's husband had been located, and while they're there, they set someone out to guard the perimeter.
Right.
And in the middle of the night, the ladies are attacked by a creature, and it
very
ends up being. You know, the laws of nature don't apply, so the bear has been morphed into this hideous type of the
monstrosity.
Right.
Of...
I mean, you need to see the movie because we can't explain it.
See, that's the thing. Just off the strength of us trying to really explain we've seen. On that principle alone,
honestly, guys, who gives a fuck about the story in this movie? Put on the music that you like and have this movie playing in the background just for the visuals. I feel like someone needs to re-edit this with all the visuals that are really cool, like the nightmare bear. The crocodile, the deer, some of them like towards the end with the veins of the person going up against the wall. Like, that's beautiful shit.
Yeah,
re-edit it. Cut out the entire story and just put all the cool photos together. Make a music video is what I'm saying.
Gotcha. Okay, that's...
And then I would thoroughly enjoy this.
Okay.
Because I can put my own music to it. Can someone please do that for me?
I'm sure they probably could.
I'm going to reach out to Brian. Brian will do this for me.
Sweet. But then again, you will miss the awesome sound of that scene.
Whatever, I'm going to use my nice speakers and put my own music to it.
No. Okay, so you tell me you're going to put music over the nightmare bear in the room scene? That was everything. The silence was what made that scene masterful.
Okay.
And the sound that comes out of the nightmare bear. So you're telling me you don't even want that?
Okay, my music video is going to start with the silence. And then Nightmare Bear, and then my own music coming on. But I don't need to watch the entire movie for the Nightmare Bear.
Oh, just give you some kind of, you know,
I mean,
some context.
Obviously, I don't think this is an airplane movie.
No. Well, okay. Well, yes. Go. Do tell. Tell. Why?
It's very slow. And if you're not actively watching it or actively paying attention, you're not going to catch that it's jumping between past, present, and past.
Yeah.
Because they do jump between a couple different pasts.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when she's with her husband.
Yeah, right. Before he went to the bubble.
Right. So there's two different pasts that they keep jumping back to, which is annoying and confusing. And look,
that's why you're getting this mixed up with Inception.
Yeah, just for everyone. I can't remember the name of this movie. I keep calling it Inception. I know these are very different movies. One's about dreams.
And
one's
this is
about
a
aliens.
Nightmare. Alien nightmare. Okay. So, recommendation, no, yet. Well, what, on the principle of that, wouldn't it be a good airplane movie because you can...
Well, but like, you're going to be so confused. You fucking knows what the story is about. You're going to watch it and be like, it's very pretty. So most plain TV screens suck. So you're not going to get the crispness of the artwork in this music video that I want someone to create for me.
That's an art music video?
Yeah. Right. No, you cut out all the talking. Just give me in the music video.
Okay.
With the Nightmare Bear as the intro. So it's basically... Who sings Bat Out of Hell? I just stumped Yusuf. Meatloaf! Meatloaf!
Yes, yes.
It's like a Meatloaf video.
Okay.
With it, like,
those videos are pretty long.
No music at the beginning intro of The Nightmare Bear. Then just cut to a bunch of artwork. If any of this stuff was in a gallery, I would be loving this exhibit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's beautiful. I mean... I think to me, there were so many technical things that was working for this film. Like you're saying, cinematography is beautiful. Yeah, the acting was solid. Like between
Tessa
Thompson always come through. I mean, you don't even have to worry about if she's gonna come with hers or not. She always come with hers.
No, the acting was great.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. There were these four women that were going into the bubble to find out what was going on with the aliens and what they were doing to the East Coast.
With nature.
Right. And was the Bashel, whatever the test is, that talks about, that measures a movie based on how often the women talk about other things besides men. I'm sure this rates very high up there.
Right.
And it's great to see like powerful women controlling the story and everything. But at the end of the day, it was kind of a boring movie. I mean, personally for me, like I said, if it was on the Sci-Fi Channel, I feel like they could have added some cheese. That would have been lots of fun.
Jeez.
Yeah. I needed something more too. I didn't get the, like, I didn't believe Natalie Portman's character was really all that into her husband, in that she would put her life at risk to go find out what was going on in this other part of the other side of the wall. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also because she cheats on her husband. So is she really that all into him that she's going to put her life at risk, that she's going to go into a place where everyone keeps disappearing?
Well, you think she... Do you think the move was out of guilt? You know?
Well, I guess. I don't know.
Her intention is like, well, I need to make this right.
I guess guilt doesn't really come into my mind. I guess I don't have a guilty conscience.
Yeah, because she would wear that with her for life, knowing that her husband is officially dead. That she... Right.
He's dead. Who gives a fuck? What? Why are you going to go put your life at risk? He's not dead. There's nothing you can do about it. Move on.
But it's Natalie Portman, okay? She can't let go like that. Ugh. Have you not witnessed all her other movies? She can't let go that easy.
Doesn't she let go in the Star Wars movies?
Yeah, Padme. You know, she had love for Anakin. With his crazy ass, you know? So
but she let go. She died.
She died. If she was still alive, I'm sure she'd be like, but Anakin, we can still make this work. You know?
Probably.
Yeah, well, sidebar. But anyway, so yeah, I...
Wait, did you like the movie?
You know, the more I talk about it, okay, at first, when I seen it, I was like, okay, technically, it's a...
So from a director's perspective, you thoroughly enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. Yes, you're right.
But you also write stuff. So as a writer, did you enjoy it?
Okay. So this is how I matched this particular film up. Because, you know, watching Ex Machina... The pacing of this film was...
For the people that don't know, it's the director...
Yeah, Alex Garland.
Sure.
Yeah.
That did Ex Machina, right, also did this.
His first movie was 28
Days Later. So the sequel to 28 Days. Mm-hmm. Which 28 Days is awesome.
Danny Boyle. I mean, you can't top Danny Boyle.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of where you slice it. So coming into this particular film, I had an idea of how he tell his stories. It's very... I'm not going to say slow pace. Well, it is slow. It's slow pace. I mean, well, Ex Machina, it's a lot of slow reveals, a lot of slow build-up of character reveals and revelations and things like that.
Oh, he did The Beach also?
Really?
Well, he wrote the novel. What?
Oh, wow. Man, he's all over the place.
And then he did 28 Days Later, so...
Yeah.
I guess I've only seen his 28 Days Later.
Gotcha.
He was the writer on 28 Days Later. He wasn't the director. Yeah. Okay. He's only done two movies.
Oh, yeah. So Ex Machina is his first film.
Yeah,
right?
This was his second.
Right. Okay, just to go back to what we were talking about with first-time directors, like the director of Hereditary and the director of...
Yeah, but the Hereditary is good.
But... okay, criticism aside for these movies, we just talk about like the strength of first time directors, right?
Oh, okay.
And Ex Machina, well, you gotta watch it. So Ex Machina to me was in that wheelhouse of the first time director, first movie being like really solid. I'm like, wow. And this is his follow up. Not as strong as Ex Machina, I admit, but there are elements in Annihilation that I can't downright dismiss. And
okay,
after
looking at his IMDb page, this is seriously feels like a movie that was done by a writer and not a movie done by a director. In that he spends so much time building the scenes and not enough time with actual interaction with the characters. He thoroughly, obviously, thoroughly enjoys writing about the scenery. I imagine if I read a book of his, it would be an entire chapter to describe
the sky.
Yes. Yeah. basically mm-hmm. like the woman that wrote The Goldfinch, where you have an entire chapter dedicated to the color of a shirt, and it's just painful.
Ready Player One, there was a chapter where there's a chapter where Wade works out and loses, I forget how many pounds. There was like a whole chapter devoted to that.
Right, but Or, I mean, in Game of Thrones, there's entire chapters dedicated to the food that people are eating, which I'm actually okay with that, but... in a movie, I don't need a... Well, see, I'm torn because in a movie, made the movie very, very slow and it kept losing my attention.
Mm. But on the flip side,
as a music video, it'd be fucking awesome.
But you were engaged because you can
visually.
Say it was a lot of stuff visually.
Right, yes.
If there wasn't a lot of those kind of deliberately long establishing shots and those sweeping shots, like the beach scenes.
Like when my Apple TV goes on like sleeper mode or a safe.
Yeah, you want it to be a screenshot?
That it should be. This movie is all the screenshots from the movie. Exactly. That's what it should be. Right. I mean, I don't give a fuck what happens to any of the characters.
Right. So for you, visually stunning. Everything else is by the wayside, below the wayside.
Basically.
Okay.
Okay, but I interrupted you. As someone that writes their own screenplays, did you like it as the story? The flow of it
To me, I think the flow is very was deliberately long too.
I feel like he was trying to build suspense.
Exactly. One, to build suspense. Two, to establish the world or wherever it is.
Right.
Because to me, it's like, to your point, it was more of you just absorbing what was around them more so than their engagement with the environment.
Okay. A movie that does that perfectly in that you go in and you're introduced to the world, and just the sound of the world is the first probably 20 minutes of Alien, where there's no music in it, is all the ambient noise. And he does an amazing job of building the suspense of what is going to happen and everything. I feel like, I forget the director's name already. He's trying too hard. Mm. Whereas Alien, it sucks you in.
Ah, yeah, totally. I'm not going to argue with you on Alien in any way, shape, or form. I mean, you know, that's...
So this director classic. Needs to go back and take some classes, mm-hmm. from my perspective.
Okay, I feel you.
I hope I never meet him in real life.
You know, he might be listening.
Don't listen to the podcast.
Gentleman said it. But I get what you're saying. But on the flip side, there were more positive than negatives. I do agree on it could have been a lot more dynamic between the characters, you know, their intentions. You know, it was almost set up like a horror movie, right? You know, you have your character set up. You know they're going to get picked off. You know, like Jason's going to pick them off one by one. Yeah. So it's kind of like that scenario, which I didn't really know they were going to go that route. Because if so...
Well, but how couldn't you? Because at the beginning, she's the only person being interviewed. And they even ask her, like, you're in there for how much time, and you're the only person that came out.
That's the problem with that kind of narrative device. It's deceptive. It's like she's telling you what she wants you to know. Like, we don't know, like, the big reveal, which makes it plausible. It's always that device. It's always like, usual suspect, right? Prime example.
Right.
Kaiser Soze, the Kevin Spacey character, lets you know what he want you to know. Like, he's not going to let you in on the reveal. He's not going to let you know what's really happening. Like, the viewer is only absorbing and only have to believe what he's telling us as the truth. Right. Like, he's telling us the truth, right?
Again, in Usual Suspects, done very well.
I'm just going by the narrative device that... this particular movie is doing.
Right. And so, okay, so let's go to them interrogating Natalie Portman.
Right.
I don't even remember who was interrogating her. He did not come across as scary or intimidating or...
It's very like, you know, government brass. Like,
right.
What happened, you know?
It was just a blank face in my mind. I've already forgotten that character.
Yeah, I mean, it was so many, like, just established shots on her talking. It was like, they weren't really important. It was just more like seeing her talk about what happened.
Right.
Is
it an airplane movie for you?
It's not an airplane movie. I mean, because of certain scenes.
Right.
I mean, and the
right?
whole...
I mean, it ends with her being raped by an alien that ends up being her ghost.
Attempted. Figure. Oh, did she?
The alien pushes her up against the wall and
but then she,
but
like...
Then she, but then the alien's, like, mirroring her, so is she raping herself? And then it's... Oh, did you not...
I noticed it, but I didn't know... Was it, like,
Well, they never show the penetration. You have to leave that to your imagination.
But you know what? I thought she, like, kind of fought. I know it was like that. It was that struggle. And it was the mirror. Like, when she was trying, she was going left. Was going left. She going right. But I know.
But when she was up against the wall, it makes it. It looks like she's being raped.
Oh, okay.
You need to go
subjective.
Back. Yeah.
From a woman's
perspective, it looked like she was being raped.
Gotcha. Okay, hey. It wasn't so, hey, it could be the case. I'm not saying it wasn't. And then
after she's raped, that's when it starts mirroring her. Because they've connected on a biological level.
You know, okay, so what... Why I thought it wasn't, that wasn't the case, because of all the stuff we were seeing prior to her going, you know, like adapting our, you know, our again, our niche.
Right.
Just like, you know, with Tessa Thompson, like she was like, okay, like she just gave into the adaptation of this environment. It's like,
the aliens are morphing people's DNA so that you become part of their environment.
So that on that, I thought that was what was happening. I think it was just mirroring, like,
the alien has to fucking rape her so that she can become adapted, like, connected further with the DNA.
That's a strong thing right there. I like to say, we need to look into that one. But okay. All right, I'll go with that, I guess.
Neither one of us have read the book.
Yeah, no, exactly. So this is all speculation.
I'm sure there's people out there that have read the book that can let us know what actually happened.
This is not what happened. Stop.
Right.
Stop spreading falsehoods about this story.
But let's just say that the majority of America probably hasn't read this book, so are perceiving it the same way we are.
It's a bestseller.
Is it a bestseller in the sci-fi category? Is it a bestseller in the general category?
Wikipedia?
Exactly. Because until Game of Thrones was an HBO show, it was also a bestseller, but no one had ever heard of it.
True.
Because it was in the fantasy category.
True. Yeah. Well, I mean, me being a sci-fi head, there are a lot of things I appreciated in this particular story.
Yeah, I would like the executives at the Sci-Fi Channel to do the sequel to this movie, because I feel like you could have way more fun.
Yeah, possibly. Why not? I mean, because,
the people that brought you Tornado Sharks, Sharknado.
You want the people that gave us Sharknado Annihilation.
I want the people that did Lake Placid.
Only if Betty White could come back.
Yes.
That's the only, if Betty White could come back, then we can talk.
Does it take place in the future where Natalie Portman has aged to Betty White?
Yeah, and Betty White is cryogenically frozen, so she's still alive when Natalie Portman is, like, older.
So I was saying that Betty White plays the future version of
now
Portman. Yeah.
Why not have her tell the M16 and Betty White can do everything. Betty White for president. I'm gonna suggest it. I'm gonna recommend this one.
Don't watch it on the plane. You're gonna miss a whole lot of cool visuals.
Mm-hmm.
And the sound is pretty nice.
Creepy.
So creepy. You'll miss a lot of the creepiness of the sound mix. Mm-hmm. Because of the ambient noise on the plane. But maybe watch it at home after you've had a couple drinks.
In the dark. Turn it up.
Just be aware of the nightmare bear. So,
and I'm gonna say for the record, that scene was one of the most memorable scenes of 2018. Like, you can forget a lot of movies, but if you've seen that film and then you've seen all the other, like, so many films after that, you're gonna go back to that scene. You're like, man, that scene in that movie, you can even forget the movie. You're going to remember that scene. You're going to remember that Nightmare Bear scene. Like, that's going to, like, haunt your dreams. And on that, I give it respect. Even if everything else fall flat, at least you gave me a scene that I'm going to remember.
I mean, it got 89% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I liked it. I didn't know. I mean, there were a lot of issues with the film, but I thought it was solid. I mean, could have been better. Yes.
Honestly, I kind of blocked the Nightmare Bear. I don't remember it all.
You shouldn't block it. You should let Nightmare Bear in your subconscious and let it haunt you.
I need to go back and watch the movie to remember Nightmare Bear. Because honestly, like, I remember the crocodile, and I remember the deer, and I remember, like, the people and the plants becoming the people. Yeah,
but
Nightmare Bear's totally blocked.
Maybe it was so traumatic you, like, blocked it.
I have PTSD for the Nightmare Bear.
I mean, and it was in a room, it was self-contained, and think of it as, like, a Velociraptor Jurassic Park scene. How everyone had to be quiet and still. The scene played off of silence, like A Quiet Place. That suspense.
Just so you know, you can Google Nightmare Bear.
Nice. See, that's how awesome that scene is. And for that reason, I give it a recommendation.
Okay. People just Google Nightmare Bear.
And watch the movie. You need context.
Okay. So. All
right. So that's what I got on it. Genoa, say no on all fronts with this movie, except if it's spliced into a music video.
Exactly. I'm totally emailing people to do this for me.
Do you have any free time? Can you spice this into a music video? Thank you.
Yep.
I recommend it. I give it a thumbs up.
Okay. So you can find us on Facebook. And now we are available on iTunes and Spotify and SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm.
On iTunes, make sure you follow us and rate us, because that makes us happy. Yes. Also makes the people that track us happy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, people like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have email that you can find on our Facebook page, but it's basically inflightentertainment18@gmail.com. And similar to that on Twitter. We don't have Instagram yet, but you can find me on Instagram at islandgirl200.
Mm-hmm.
And Yusuf, where can they find you?
InfiniteVisionFilms.com. I Vision Films on Twitter. And Infinite Vision Films on the gram. And yeah. And until then, guys, safe travels and
peace.